trek to IKEA. And while there, we found this coffee table that we thought would be perfect for our living room, along with, of course, a whole bunch of other impulse buys of things that we don't really need. Now, this coffee table looked really good on the display shelf. But when we got home and opened up the box, there were all these pieces that are packaged so well so that nothing gets damaged. But, as you know, it looked nothing like the display model we saw. Now, thankfully, there was an instruction manual that came with it. You know the one, has the diagrams of the people and where they could and where you can and can't put it together, what tools you need, how to put it together. And now I know most of the guys here will probably try to ignore all of these and figure it out themselves. Who needs instructions after all, right? But we have to admit, eventually, after we have about two or three panels left over and I don't know how many screws, we're gonna probably end up turning to it to finish off the job, to make it look like it should. In other words, we need that instruction manual to turn a flat pack box of pieces so that a beautiful cabinet or a beautiful coffee table or cabinet or whatever it would be, so that it looks like what we saw in the store. Now, not all of us have been to IKEA or can experience this, and you kids, maybe you can't quite relate to this example. So I'm going to use another example that you kids can probably relate to, and also many of us big kids, I include myself. Lego. Think of the time when you might have gotten this wrapped up box for your birthday, for Christmas, whatever it is, and the first thing you do is shake it, and you're like, hey, this sounds like Lego. In your excitement, you frantically pull back the paper, and there it is, a box. Beautiful picture of your new Lego set, whatever it is, a car, a truck, house. And maybe you think, well, how in the world am I going to build that the way it looks there? How will I know where all the pieces go? Again, maybe you're the type that you open up the box and you try and figure it all out yourself first. But it's very unlikely you're going to end up with something like the picture. For that, again, we can be thankful that in the box is also a very well illustrated step-by-step instruction book. What am I getting with all this? Brothers and sisters, the finished product in both of these examples, maybe we can try, or it can be compared to the gospel picture that we get in question and answer one. Of belonging to Christ. We can call that the finished product. And there's just so much comfort that we receive since we belong to Jesus. He has fully paid for all our sins with his precious blood. He not only paid for our sins, he frees us from the power of the devil. He takes care of us. Not even a hair falls from our heads without it being the will of our Heavenly Father. Belonging to Jesus means that he assures us of eternal life. We saw all this last week. And the Holy Spirit makes us heartily willing and ready to live for him. This is a very beautiful picture. But how can we make all this comfort our own? Or we can say, how do we get it? How do we create this comfort in our hearts? That's exactly what we find out in the second question and answer. What it is we need to know in order to live and die in the joy of this comfort. It's kind of like the instruction manual. And then we see how very crucial, how very important this question and answer actually is. We could even go so far as to say that our very lives depend on what we confess in this second question and answer of our catechism. And just like we saw when we dealt with the first question and answer, again, it is important that we take note of the question before we move on to the answer. And there is one very, very key word, important word that we must take notice of. And that is the idea of needing to know. Need. Okay? It is required. It is essential. It is not just desirable. It's not just something that we want. In order to live and die in the joy of the comfort of belonging to Jesus Christ, we need to know these three things that we'll be discussing this afternoon. Also take note of the words live and die. What's the point of being comforted in this life but then worrying on our deathbeds? The opposite is also true. This is not just something we need to know as our lives draw to a close. No, also in our everyday life today. And finally, let's not miss the word joy. Did you notice that? Our joy has not been mentioned yet, not in Lord's Day 1. Now we find out we can have also joy in the comfort of belonging to Christ. You see, joy is something we can expect, we can welcome into our lives. And this is not just a feeling of being happy all the time. It is a deep felt joy, a peace, as we heard this morning, a peace deep in our hearts that we were considered worthy of being saved. You hear the words of the Holy Spirit from Peter's first language to do with this joy factor. Though you have not seen him, you love him. You believe in him and rejoice, and joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. My brothers, my sisters, this joy can be ours. We can live and die in the joy of the comfort of belonging to our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I preach to you God's word. I'd like to use that as our theme. The joy that comes from the comfort of belonging to Jesus can be ours when we know three things. And they are, first of all, our sins and misery. I just follow the structure of the catechism here. Secondly, our deliverance. Thirdly, our thankfulness, or we can think of it as our guilt, grace, and gratitude. So first we'll see and look at our sins and misery. We read that in our confession. First of all, we need to know how great our sins and misery are. And maybe another way to put this is, in order to find this comfort, the joy of this comfort, we need to admit our sinfulness, not make excuses for it or ignore it. We need to see it. And through his word, we learn very clearly that God does not hold back from telling us that he knows our hearts. He knows who we are. Already from the very beginning, after the fall into sin, we can read, the Lord saw that the wickedness of mankind was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That is not a very nice picture that is being painted of those that God created in his own image. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only, there was nothing else but evil continually. I'd like to just show to you some more examples. In Solomon's prayer, when he dedicated the temple to the Lord, he confesses, there is no one who does not sin. Jeremiah prophesied the word of the Lord also about the condition of our hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Yes, God's word is very clear. The Bible clearly tells us, God, he knows our sin and misery. The question is, do we? For we confess that we need to know from what we have been rescued. For how else can we really appreciate being rescued? You see, it can happen that we start to think, if we really think about it, we're not really that bad, are we? Or put another way, maybe we think there is a little part of us that is good enough to reach out and grab the life ring that was maybe thrown to us. However, it is important that we understand this correctly, brothers and sisters. Remember what we read in the letter to the Ephesians? It really does not get any more blunt than that. How are we described? We were dead in our trespasses. Dead, deceased, finished, lifeless, gone. You see, someone who is dead is not still floundering on the surface, even able to grab a life raft or a life ring. Someone who is dead is lying at the bottom of the ocean, totally unable to help themselves. It's important that we think about this, brothers and sisters, because sometimes I think we have to admit that it is kind of hard for us to understand exactly what that means, especially for those of us who have grown up in the faith, we could say. For if we really think about it, if I was to ask you, when in your life were we dead in our sins? We were born to believing parents. We grew up in Christian homes. We went to church since we were like yay high. Oh, sure, we all know we sin. But we have had the promise of the Holy Spirit to fight sin since the day we were born. And maybe we read Ephesians and we simply say, oh yeah, okay, Paul is talking about those who were converted from a previous life of walking, and in this I'm quoting, following the course of this world. And of course, this is true. But then we notice verse 3. Verse 3 says, you were by nature children of wrath. And that applies to us too, brothers and sisters. When Paul speaks of being dead in our sins, we are talking about our spiritual condition. Our confession says we are included by nature. Sorry, not included. We are inclined by nature to hate God and our neighbor. Our nature, our human natures became so corrupt since the fall and disobedience of Adam and Eve that we are all conceived and born in sin. Please try to understand this. Please realize that you too were dead before God in His grace made you alive in Christ Jesus. For then we realize even more the wonders of His grace. Knowing our sins and miseries, misery means more than just acknowledging that we sin every day. It means realizing how dead we were, how great a depth we have been rescued from. You see, then we can truly live and die in joy. Then we can truly appreciate our deliverance and be comforted knowing how we belong to Jesus Christ. Oh, what a God we have. We were spiritually dead. Know this. Understand this. For then we can truly see and appreciate how we have also been so graciously delivered from all our sins and misery. And that'll also bring us to our second point. Our deliverance. Well, maybe you were thinking this will probably be a bit of a short point. How are we delivered from our sin and misery? Easy. Through Jesus Christ. True. We heard that, put in a different way in what we read from Ephesians. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. So true. But as we will see when we go through this part of the catechism, there is so much more to be said about it. It is rightfully the longest part of the catechism. It's dealing with our deliverance. For what is explained to us is how we are made alive through Christ. Full payment, for example, had to be made. No creature can pay for us. We need a mediator who is true and righteous man, and at the same time, true God. We need the mediator who we know as our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we also learn about the role that faith plays. Faith is worked in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Faith is both a sure knowledge, but it's also a firm confidence. Knowledge that of all that God has revealed in his word to be true. And then the confidence that God gives also to us. Forgiveness of sins, everlasting life, righteousness, and salvation out of mere grace because of what Christ accomplished for you, for I. We are to believe all that is promised to us in the gospel, which is summarized for us in the Apostles' Creed, which we sang at the beginning of this service. My brothers, my sisters, let us not forget how necessary it is to know all this. Make it real for yourself. Ask yourself, do I truly believe all this? Or are they just a whole bunch of random words that we kind of know what it means? See, if we know our sin and misery, the next step, we could say, in our instruction manual is to know how we are delivered from it. Because if this is not truly known, if we miss this step, then I'm sorry to say, we won't get to live and die in the joy of the comfort of belonging to Jesus Christ. Or it might be asked, what is the point of knowing all this? Actually, our catechism does ask it in different words. Now that we believe all that is summarized in the Apostles' Creed, how does it even help us? Well, get this. In Jesus Christ, we are actually righteous before God. Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. And it's true, our consciences continue to accuse us of our sins. And we know that we are still inclined to evil, yet God imputes to us the perfect satisfaction, the righteousness, and the holiness of Jesus Christ. He gives that to us. It is the most wonderful gift we could ever receive. Way better than anything else we could imagine receiving. And it is a free gift of grace. Yes, he gives it to us as if we had never had nor committed any sin. Can we even comprehend that? As if we perfectly obeyed God like Jesus did. If only. Yes, if only we accept this gift. This free gift with a believing heart. And so again, the all-important question is, will you accept it? My brothers, my sisters in Christ, I sincerely hope and pray that this wonderful truth, I know you've heard this before, but that this wonderful truth never, ever gets old. That it never fails to blow your mind, so to speak, to amaze you. Take the time to really stop, ponder, and think about this beautiful verse that I'm sure most of us know well. For by grace you have been saved, have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Yes, we accept that in true faith. And then, as we will see now in our third and final point, all that we have left to do is to know how we are to be thankful to God for such deliverance. So, we think about a little recap here. God's word tells us we were dead in our sinfulness, and we are made alive in Christ Jesus. Dead. Now alive. How could we not be thankful? And we do have to ask ourselves some serious questions here. Are we? Is this what drives us? Is it our sincere desire to show true thankfulness to God with our entire life and to live with our neighbor in true love and unity? You recognize that question? Sure, you would have. It's the last, the question was taken from our self-examination part of our Lord's Supper form. In fact, the three self-examination questions match these three things we need to know in order to live and die in the joy of the comfort of belonging to Jesus Christ. And so every 2 months, at least, we can ask ourselves, we can examine our hearts. But let's not leave it to this alone. Let's not just wait every 2 months. Let's try for every single day. See, Paul reminds his readers in what we read together that we were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And then he encourages us, walk then. Walk as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. That is a straight out instruction. Walk. And that refers to our daily walk. And then, brothers and sisters, do we even know who we are? God's word tells us. We are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2 verse 10. We are redeemed by Christ's precious blood. We are also renewed by His Holy Spirit. And because of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, we can, yes, we can, with our whole life show that we are thankful to God for all His benefits. Praise God. Praise Him for this. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Praise Him in everything you do. Let us pray for the Holy Spirit to work in us this coming to life of our new nature. And let us work on having this heartfelt joy in God through Christ and a love and a delight to live according to the will of God. And for that, we've been given God's perfect requirements in the form of the Ten Commandments. They are for us a guide of how to live this thankful life. And the role of these commandments is so clearly and beautifully stated in 1 John chapter 5. And I quote, "This is how we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and obey His commands. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. Yes, the Holy Spirit can give us what we need to be renewed more and more after God's image. And then, of course, prayer plays a huge part in our thankfulness. In fact, we confess that it is the most important part. Why? Well, God gives His grace. Remember that gift of grace? God gives His grace and His Holy Spirit only to those who constantly and with heartfelt longing ask Him for them and also thank Him for these amazing gifts. Do we do this? Do we specifically ask Him for His grace? Do we thank God for grace? Kids, you too. I ask you now, do you pray for the Holy Spirit to make you strong? Do you want it? Do you long for it? And you teens and your young adults, do you regularly thank God for the Holy Spirit and for His grace? For listen to God's word as we find it in 1 Thessalonians. And these, by the way, are all commands. There we read God's word telling us to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all circumstances, and then get this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is God's will for you too, brothers and sisters. Because you are in Christ Jesus, He wants you to rejoice, to have joy. He wants you to pray. He wants you to give thanks in every situation. This all means that our Father in heaven wants us to have the joy of the comfort that comes from knowing we are not our own. We belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only does God want us to have this joy, He also reveals to us how we can have this. He gives us the instruction manual. God reveals to us what we need to know. The three G's. We need to know our guilt. We need to know about grace. And we need to know about gratitude. Now, as we come to the end of the sermon, there is one more important thing that just must be said after a sermon like this. We should not now go home, make a list, three things, put it on the fridge so we can tick off the things that we know or keep track of that. The reason I say this is we do not find joy when we know, say, our sin and we're thankfulness, but we don't know our salvation. It's also not like a three-step program. If we want to go back to the examples, just like we could not say that the Lego set was done because we finished the first book of instructions. It doesn't work that way. For though, yes, we've dealt with them separately, all three are necessary so that we might find joy in belonging to Christ. When we know our guilt, and about grace, and gratitude, then, and only then, we may have joy. Then, we may be truly comforted that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sing hymn.